The reading today is from Luke chapter 18, verse 9 to 14, and this can be found on page 1052 of the Church Bibles. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you, I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, and adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted.
Let me pray for us. Dear Lord, we pray as we look at this parable, you would teach us from it. You would help us then, by your Holy Spirit, to apply it to our lives. Amen. Well, I should say Happy New Year to you, shouldn't I? So Happy New Year. Of myself, though, I have to admit to not being sure about what all this fuss is about. There doesn't seem anything particularly magical about the 1st of January. And stay up all night whooping and hollering and letting off fireworks. Well, you might have done that. I didn't. But just because we change one digit on the year, what's the big deal? But there is something, isn't there, good about reflecting on what's happened in the last year and thinking, considering the year ahead and what changes we might make. It's sort of like a reset, isn't it? Of course, we don't know what's going to happen in 2026. And but that's a good thing, maybe, then, to consider things. In particular, good to look again at some of the basic truths of the Christian faith. And it's one of those that Jesus teaches in this parable that we just had read to us. Of course, in every parable, Jesus doesn't teach everything in the parable. He usually teaches one or two things, but they point to the whole gospel message. Before we look at the parable, let me tell you a story. Funny story, I think it is. there's this older couple, husband and wife, and the husband has come to the conclusion that his wife is going a bit deaf. But he's a sensitive sort, and he wants to break it to her gently. He wants to demonstrate. So he stands in the kitchen. She sat in the sitting room reading a book. And he says, would you like a cup of tea? Nothing. So he moves into the hallway, and he says again, would you like a cup of tea? Nothing. So he moves into the sitting room, stands by her chair, and says, would you like a cup of tea? His wife said, for the third time, yes, please. Now you're probably thinking, what's that joke got to do with the parable? Well, there is a point to the story. And there are things that are in common with the parable and the joke. For example, there is this little twist at the end. A surprise. Jesus meant the parable to be a surprise, a shock to the listeners. Some of that shock is a bit missed by us in 2026. They may have heard what we just had read to us in verse 14. And they may have thought, how is it that the tax collector comes away in the right with God? Well, on looking at the parable, I'm reminded of some verses in 1 Samuel, which goes, it's on your screen. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So we're going to look at this parable under four headings. The two people approach God, verse 10. The contrast between those two people, 11 to 13. the verdict on that in verse 14, and then what the main point of the parable is. So first, I need two people to approach God. In verse 10, it says, they went up to the temple to pray. Now, you can have understood from the reading that what Jesus does is to contrast these two people. But there is things that the two people have in common. For a start, they're both Jews. They've both gone to the temple in order to pray, as they will have been taught to do. So both are approaching God. They are intentionally doing that. So they come to the temple. Now you and I know that through Jesus, we can pray anywhere. You don't have to go to a temple. You don't have to go to a church. God is not confined to any particular place. But there is something, isn't there, about deliberately going somewhere to meet with God. It's about your intention, isn't it? What you intend. As presumably you've come here today with that intention to meet with God. Then in verse 11 it says, the Pharisee stood up. Now, that doesn't mean that the tax collector didn't stand up. In fact, it says verse 13, you may notice, the tax collector stood. It is how Jews would pray, still do, in many circumstances. So then, two men go to pray. They stood in the temple before God, and they're in that. They are the same. They had that in common. But just about every point from then on, the two men could not be more different from each other. So let's look at the second point. Let's look at the contrast that Jesus points out between them. Verses 11 to 13. The Pharisee is a very religious man. He's the one who keeps the letter of the law. He's a leader. He's respected by the people, looked up to them even. He's someone who you would expect to see in the temple. The tax collector, on the other hand, is a traitor to his religion and to his people and to his country. He's taken money from his own people to hand it to the enemy, and in so doing has made put some in his own pocket, made himself wealthy through it. He is despised by the people, and I can't imagine for a moment he's going to be welcome in the temple. And as they pray, Jesus describes their body language. Other people, you can tell a lot by people, before they've even opened their mouth, by their body language. So when Jesus says the Pharisee stood up, he's more telling you about what his body language is, maybe actually where he stood. The Pharisees tended to stand in prominent places, so they would be conspicuous. He's upright, he's confident, he's proud even. Looking up to heaven, he felt at home, right at home, here in the temple. So isn't that a lesson for us as we think about that? Feeling at home in church does not necessarily mean that you are closer to God, whereas actually feeling distinctly uncomfortable in the church may mean you are a lot closer than you think. So the tax collector, he stands, but he stands at a distance. He doesn't want anyone to notice him. Exactly the opposite, really, to the Pharisee who wants to be conspicuous. He doesn't. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast in self-disgust. It seems here that the tax collector isn't only despised by other people. He despises himself. But then they speak. So let's read verse 11 and 12. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed. In some translations, it actually says that he prayed about himself, which I think is pretty accurate. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give tenths of all I get. He lists here what he has done, doesn't he? It's sort of a self-proclaimed eulogy. this is why I'm such a good bloke. Have you ever noticed that in eulogies, nobody is a bad person. Everybody's a good person, aren't they, in eulogies? Nobody ever says, Joe Bloggs, he was a waste of space. Maybe that's just as well. He thanks God that he is not like other people. It's sort of handy for him to have the tax collector there to actually point out he's not like this person. It's sort of like an advantageous comparison for him. The tax collector, on the other hand, says very little at all. Verse 13, God have mercy on me, a sinner. He didn't have anything to say in his own favor. Sort of like when you go for a job interview and they say, so Andrew, why should we give you this job? And you say, I haven't the faintest idea. He hasn't got anything to say. He could think of no reason why God should listen to him. Save one, God's mercy. God have mercy on me. The nature of God himself is his only plea. It's interesting. So the third thing is the verdict, verse 14. Let me read that. I tell you, this man, rather than the other, he means the tax collector rather than the Pharisee, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Now, I imagine that at this point, you're in total agreement with this. Good one, Jesus. Pharisee, he's a smug, arrogant, self-congratulating so-and-so. We don't like that sort of person. The tax collector, much more honest, isn't he? He's humble, in fact. Depending on what you believe, you might be quite pleased that it is the religious do-gooder who seems to come out as being the one put down by Jesus. But if we stop there, then we miss something. Well, two things. Firstly, the parable is more subtle than that, because the original listeners, you see, would have been shocked, because, as Jesus intended them to be, and rather conflicted, perhaps, because they wanted the tax collector to be the one who is condemned. But we are not the ones who've been betrayed by the tax collector, are we? We're not the ones who, from whom he's taken money. So we maybe don't see that side of things. Maybe if you used instead a people smuggler who makes money out of other people's misery, with no regard to the risk that he puts them in or about the other consequences to it. That's the sort of person they would be thinking of. And the people listening to Jesus would have at least seen that what the Pharisee said. He's got a point about the good things he's done. He has done good things. Albeit, of course, that he's an annoying, self-righteous person, as he says them. So they would really find hard to think about or work out what Jesus was getting at in the parable. So secondly, chances are that we are actually more like the Pharisee than we would like to think. Because aren't we always making these parables, comparisons between us and other people? The failings of others are often make us feel a lot better. You're in, doing a computer course and somebody, and you can see the person next to you is getting really, really confused or behind, and you're doing okay, so you feel better. Maybe I'm okay. Others' mistakes and inabilities tend to make us feel not so bad about ourselves. When I was a lot younger, I made the mistake of entering the dad's race, father's race. One of my children's sports day, and you stand in a line, and then that's where I realized I made a mistake, because there's other people with the shorts and the trainers, obviously been training for about a month, and I'm in my office clothes with my working shoes. I thought this could end badly. Everybody else seemed to take it very seriously, and then when we started, everybody's ahead of me, you know, and it's like I've gone into reverse or something, you know. And but I'm running up the field trying to catch them, and somebody trips over, maybe over their nice new Nike trainers, pulls a hamstring or runs out of breath, and I'm sort of halfway up the field. And by the end of it, you know, I was way not last. I felt good about myself, but it was at the expense of everybody else, really. And we too have our little list of the things that we have done that we can maybe drop into conversation or like other people to mention. Oh, you did that thing, didn't you? They respect us because of the things. So maybe this parable, you know, is not so comforting as we first imagine that it is. But fourth point, the main point of the parable, what is Jesus getting at? Well, the true meaning of the parable is shown from what Luke tells us at the beginning, but ultimately from what Jesus says, the way he summarizes it at the end. So look at verse 9 to start with. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. And then verse 14, we read again. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified. Important word that justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Earlier on in Luke chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, and he says this. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your hearts. What people value highly is detestable in God's sight." You see, the Pharisee, he justified himself, and he justified himself to other people, but he didn't justify himself to God. All this stuff he's listed, all the comparisons he's making, they don't impress God. The central point is about how you are justified before God. So at the end of time, when you stand before him, and maybe even now, as you pray to him now, wherever you come before him, I suppose, on what grounds do you imagine that a holy God, who looks at your hearts, who knows what you do and knows why you do it, on what grounds do you believe you will be justified? Maybe the question that I mentioned at the beginning summarizes it well. How was it that the tax collector went home justified? Because he hasn't done anything to deserve it. But you see, that is exactly the point. He knows he is a sinner. It weighs down upon him. He knows the only way that he could be justified before God is if God has mercy on him. The only way he could be counted as righteous is if God makes a way by which he can. But I don't want us to imagine for a moment that is a comfortable place to be. Maybe you know that. To be humbled. He who humbles himself, Jesus says. But there's nothing easy about that. The England cricket team, not doing so badly apparently, the latest test, but they won the fourth test even, but the first three they lost. Therefore, they lost the Ashes. They were humbled. And that's not easy. So many might find it difficult to come before God admitting that they actually have nothing to commend them. So the tax collector, he knows the only way he can be counted as righteous if God makes a way by which he can. And today, as we remember in this communion service, and Jesus, who told the parable, did just that. He made a way by giving his life to the tax collector and all who call upon his name may be counted as if they were righteous. Of course, Jesus died for the Pharisee as well. But the Pharisee's big problem is that he doesn't think he has a problem. Like the husband in my joke, who thought it was his wife that was going deaf when it was him all along. So I'm going to leave you with a question. It's a challenging question, I guess, but I think Jesus meant the parable to be challenging. when you stand before God, and I believe that we all will sooner or later, how do you think you will be justified? Let me close with a prayer. Lord, I pray that we all may come to you humbly, knowing that we bring nothing of our own, and seek your mercy and forgiveness. That we would come to know you, our Saviour, and the freedom that brings. In Jesus' name, amen.